All right, well, let's go to the lesson this morning, okay? This is Father's Day, June the 18th, 2023. And today's lesson is from the book of Amos. Amos chapter number 1. Amos chapter 1 and Amos chapter 2. The book of Amos is right after the book of Joel and right before the book of Andy. No, I'm sorry. Amos and Andy, y'all don't remember that, I guess, right? Oh. All right, never mind. All right, it's in the Old Testament, right after the book of Joel. All right, right after the book of Joel. We're doing the first two chapters today. We're going to try to look at some things with it. I'm going to do my best. I got to get you out, got to get me out in time to get ready to preach for the morning service too. So pray for me today. I teach here, preach there, and then I've got a service at the nursing home today at 1:30, and then we'll be back here at 4:30 for the class at 5 o'clock. And pray today that God will just give us a good day and give me wisdom to know where I am when I'm there, okay? All right? I don't want to pull a Biden and, you know. Yeah. So, y'all just pray for me, okay? Just pray for me. Amen. All right, let's look at this. Amos chapter 1 today. We are looking at the title of this lesson being From Agriculture to Ministry. From Agriculture to Ministry. The lesson is from Amos chapter 1 and Amos chapter number 2. And I want to tell you something today. On a Father's Day Sunday, if I could sum this whole lesson up for you, I'd sum it up like this. I want to remind you that God uses faithful men. God uses faithful men from all types of backgrounds to declare His message. You know what? It does not matter what background you've got. God can use you to be a declarer, a preacher, a herald for the Word of God. And God uses anybody that will make themselves available unto you, unto the Lord. And I want to remind you of that today. God uses faithful men. Now, we're going to look at this lesson today, and I want you to see some things today that will be a help to you. Let me remind you, too. Brother Stansberry, you got it on the prayer sheet, right, about your mom? Yeah, you got it in there? Okay. Brother Stansberry's mom, is she in the hospital now? Okay, she's in the hospital. Great. Okay. We'll be praying for her as well. And you can pick up a prayer list out here at the music stand right after Sunday school this morning, okay? But it amazes me how that all throughout the Word of God, you can read of the different men that God used in those days to preach and to declare the message of God. God used all kinds of men. He used folks that in the world's eyes may seem to be unimportant, insignificant, uneducated. He used all kinds of people. I want you to see today, as we open the book of Amos up this morning, I want you to see how that God once again calls a man to do His bidding that is virtually unknown to anybody. He's unknown to anyone in authority or preeminence among the world's crowd. And God uses this man for a special purpose, and this man fulfilled God's purpose in his life. And on this Father's Day Sunday, I want you to understand something. Men, God still needs you. Amen? God still needs faithful men. He is looking for some faithful men to teach their families, to teach their peers, their loved ones, the Word of God. And in this Old Testament book, we're going to look at how God calls this, but called Amos. But I want you to turn over to the book of Amos chapter number 7. I want you to look at Amos chapter 7. In Amos chapter 7, Amos is contending with the high priest that is not living for God. And he's told Amos, he said, you need to go back home where you came from. Go preach somewhere else. You're not welcome here. But Amos told him, said, God sent me here. And he tells him, he said, man, I'm nobody special. He said, I was, in verse 14, he said, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. And if you look at the very next verse, Amos was indeed faithful to God's calling upon his life. And he says there in verse 16, he said, now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Amos was not intimidated by those folks around him that didn't like the message that he bore unto them. He was not intimidated. Folks today, it seemed like, boy, if we offend somebody, we think we're going to offend somebody with truth, then we don't tell truth. And folks, listen, truth stands out far beyond any other things today. The politically correct world today has forsaken truth. They have turned it aside and they have sought after lies which pleases the hearts of people, and it just kind of scratches their ears a little bit. If I want to get Precious all relaxed, I can get Lisa all relaxed. Just rub behind her ears too there. Pat her on the neck there a little bit, okay? But man, if I want to get Precious all relaxed, all I do is just rub behind her ears, and that little dog just melts in her daddy's lap. And you know what? That's what people want today. They want to just be relaxed. They want to live at ease in Zion, and they don't want to have any concern for anything going on around them. But this is the man that God used, a shepherd, a herdsman, a keeper of the cattle, and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, a businessman. God called this businessman to do something great for him. And with the calling of God upon his life, this dear man of God stood up, and he boldly and he unashamedly declared unto the children of Israel exactly what thus saith the Lord. And in these first two chapters, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I counted at least seven times where he said, thus saith the Lord, or saith the Lord. So I want you to see this. Amos boldly declared the word of God. Now listen, I want to remind you of something. Amos loved the people of Israel. He loved his nation. He loved all those things. He loved the business that he had. But he loved his God more than he loved all those things. And that is what made the difference in the life of this man Amos. Amos wanted the best for them, even as he did for the Lord God himself. And he wanted to tell them what God said so they would have time to repent. Repent. That's what our world needs to do today. It needs to see their sin, recognize it as sin, and repent of that sin and get right with God. Are you folks cold?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Can you hit that button up one there? There you go. On the thermostat. Yeah. And we can turn the fan off there too, okay? There you go. All right. I want you to look at this morning. In this lesson, you can stay. It's no warmer in the bathroom, okay? Now, I don't know about the ladies' room, but I know the guys' room was not even warm. But anyway, all right. We love you, Cheryl. All right. I want you to see something today. The situation in Israel had gotten bad, much like it is in our country today. Pride and arrogance and a selfish greed for the things of this old world, as well as a famine among the people, had stricken the nation of Israel. It possessed the land where Amos lived, and people were having a hard time, but God still chose this simple shepherd to declare the message. And this man determined in his heart that he was going to do what God said do. And God took him from the business of agriculture to the business of ministry, to tell the people what thus saith the Lord. And I want us to see that this morning, all right? I want you to look, first of all, at Amos' prophetic ministry. Now, his background is simply this. His name means burden bearer, which suits the man that God called to do this job. He was the burden bearer. He had a heavy burden for the people of God. And the majority of the people of Israel were struggling with poverty. Now, there were the rich and there were the poor. And it seemed like, boy, the rich took advantage of the working people that were paying the taxes, and they were paying all these other things and doing all these other things. And the rich were taking just action against them, basically is what they were doing. And they were stealing their monies. But this man, who had worked as a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, he lived in the land of Tekoa, and one day he heard the call of God upon his life. And if you'll read here in verse number 1, look what it said. Amos chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. All right? Now, this story starts about 25 years or so before the actual fall of Israel. All right? And it comes at a time when King Jeroboam was now ruling, and everything was you know, a mess politically. And there was a man named Amaziah that was serving as the priest. And we're going to see this a little later as we get into the lesson today. But under this reign of this king, the elite in Israel enjoyed luxury. They enjoyed ease. And you'll see that phrase where we're going to read today, where they took ease in Zion because they saw no problems of anything around them, but they did it at the expense of their own people. That's the background of Amos. Now, his occupation had been that of a cattle herdman, okay? He was a cattle herdman. I guess maybe today we'd probably call him a cowboy, okay? A cattleman. Maybe in Texas or somewhere out west, where people raise herds of beef cattle and things like that. He would have been something similar to that with sheep. He kept sheep, and along with that, he dressed and upkept the plantation of sycamore trees and the fruit of the sycamore trees. So he had a pretty big business, it sounds like, and God blessed him. And it's interesting to think about this man who obviously owned his own business, and he raised his own cattle and sheep and all these other things on the plantation. But God wanted him to do something that was not accessible for other men, evidently. And so God called this businessman. If you'll look in chapters 1 and 2, though they don't specifically speak of his calling from God, I want you to look at again over at chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. And if you look at these verses again, we see here that Amaziah was contending with this man of God, this rural country farmer turned preacher. And Amaziah, which is the priest in Israel there, he's the king's big man, he's looking down his long nose at Amos, and he's giving Amos a hard time. And if you look at the verses previous to verse 14, you'll read about that. But the Bible said in verse 14, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit." In other words, he was telling him, listen, I'm one of the men that paid my taxes and made it so that you could have all that you've got today, all right? But then look what he said. "And the Lord took me as I followed the flock." How many men have been called while they were keeping flocks? I look at this. God used Abel from the very beginning, a keeper of the sheep, a watcher over the flocks. All these men God used. And the Bible said that the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. He ventured out, perhaps like his father had done before him as a farmer, but God called him into the ministry. I remember the day that God called me. Man, I fought that thing. I didn't want to do what God said do. But it got to the point I was more afraid not to do what God said do than I was to do what God said do. And I gave my heart and life to Christ. And you know what? I became a spokesman for the Lord. And Amos became a spokesman for God in Israel to deliver to them a message that wasn't laced with fancy sugar. It wasn't laced with good news. It wasn't laced with anything but bad news. And they were guilty. And I want you to see this today. I want you to understand, it's a glorious day when God gives you a job to do for Him. But I want you to understand something. God has given each of us a job to do for Him. We're to be God's spokesman upon this earth. We're to live a life and have a testimony that bears truth to what the Word of God has to say. Now, I want you to look at his major themes here. In verse number 2, the Bible said, and he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the tops of Carmel shall wither. Amos obviously here begins by telling the people how angry God was with their sin. How angry God was with their sin. I want you to understand something today. Sin ought to make the child of God angry. The problem in our world today is nobody's recognizing sin as sin. Yep. Nobody wants to recognize it. And the Bible said here, the Lord, he told the people, he said, the Lord's going to roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And then he tells them this. He said, the inhabitants of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Carmel was where they offered sacrifice and did all kinds of things. And Amos said, it's going to wither. It's going to become as naught. It's going to just melt away. The judgment of God is coming to all the land, from the lowest green pasture where the shepherds keep their flocks and where the cattle graze their cows and things like that, to the highest hill. Judgment for sin is indeed coming. And folks, I want you to understand something. I did not know this happened. I don't watch the news that much. But I was told that this week, our president and the White House had a big thing on the White House lawn for Pride Month. That was embarrassing to the whole world. The flag they flew, the lights they shined at night, and they had some kind of a big quirky show or something out in the yard. Folks, judgment is coming. God is not going to allow this to continue. He's not going to allow it to continue. Good Lord, help us. Listen, throughout this whole book of Amos, Amos declares certain themes unto the people that God wants them to know and to understand. And I want you to look at themes like this. Number one was the sins of the nations surrounding God's people. And you'll see that as you read Amos chapter 1, verses 3 through Amos chapter 3, verse 3. He announced a theme to whom God makes his will known, and God expects more from them. And that's in Amos chapter 3 also. He's expecting repentance and a turning from sin from the people when God tells them about their sin. Another theme was that God makes it quite clear that he's not interested in their outward sacrifices, because he wants their sacrifices to be inward, from the heart, He wants there to be true repentance, even as we heard declared from Hosea and Joel, and now again here in Amos. Another theme was that God does indeed delight in giving forth judgment. Why? Because judgment bringeth forth repentance. Listen, that's the whole purpose of chastisement, is to bring forth repentance in our hearts. And folks, we need repentance. And I'm afraid that in order to get repentance, God's going to have to send forth judgment. And you mark my words, it's going to happen. I want you to see another theme here. And that theme is the fact that God can use anybody that He chooses to deliver His message to the people. God can use anybody. You may be sitting here today and you're thinking, man, God can't use me. I can't be used of God. God can use you. And let me tell you where it starts. It starts at home. It starts at home. God wants you. Fathers, God has ordained you and me to be the spiritual leaders of our home. It is not for our wives to be the spiritual leader at home. That's not what God designed. God designed you and God designed me, fathers, to be the spiritual leaders in our household. And when it begins at home, then it can go elsewhere, throughout the neighborhood, throughout the city, throughout the county, throughout the state, throughout the land, and God can use anybody. But the last thing that Amos is going to declare unto the people, he's going to declare God's blessings upon His chosen people, Israel, and how that they will one day come, and you can see that over in Amos chapter 9. You read over in Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. So these are his major themes he's going to be declaring unto the people in this book of Amos, okay? We're going to cover that over the next couple of Sundays. I want you to understand, too, his peculiarities here, okay? He was concerned with the violence that filled his homeland. Folks, we ought to be concerned with that violence today. It's a sign that the heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. That's the whole issue. And he emphasizes God's wrath and judgment to come upon the people for their wicked ways. Their ways have been wicked. Now I want you to look here at Amos' prophecy and how it starts out. He starts out by getting Israel's attention. And how does he get Israel's attention? He starts out in verse number 3 by telling them how upset God is with the wicked and pagan nations all around them. He does this by showing them how that the nations around them, there's judgment coming to the surrounding nations. Now, the people, no doubt, were probably excited to hear that. And they probably turned around and said, oh, no, another preacher. Oh, good grief. Another preacher, tell us how bad we are. And then Amos starts out by telling them how bad the nations around them were. And they said, oh, wow, well, maybe we all stick around and hear this guy. Maybe we all listen to him a little bit. And so Amos goes through, and God says to him, beginning in verse number 3 and going all the way down through chapter 2, verse 5, he talks about here the content of the prophecy from God. Now look at it. In Amos chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he said, thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall deliver, or shall, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the plain of Avon and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captive unto Kir, saith the Lord. Wow. He came down on Damascus. Damascus was surrounding them, and they had been wicked to the people. They had done all kinds of things to the people of God. Then go down to verse number 6. Verse number 6, Amos announces to the people, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity, to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof, and I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord." Brother, I want you to understand something today. God was not happy with these nations. He was not happy with them at all. Look at verses 9 and 10. He was not happy with Tyrus. He said, "I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant." What was the brotherly covenant? In Solomon's day, Solomon had made a pact, so to speak, with Hiram, okay? And they had agreed to work together on things, and it kept peace in the land. But now Solomon's off the scene, King Hiram's off the scene, and now leadership came in and said, "We're going to take what we want." And that's exactly what they did. Tyre neglected, and they forgot, or they chose to forget that covenant with the Lord and with the nation of Israel. And they took the Jews that they had bought as slaves and just handed them over to the Edomites. They gave them out, and God was furious about this. Then look at the next one, verses 11 and 12. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with a sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send the fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozra." Isn't it interesting that nothing that these nations did was hidden from the eyes of God? These folks think, "Well, I can get away with this. I can do what I want to do. God's not going to bother me. We've got our own gods that will protect us." But the God of all heaven, the God of Israel, saw what these people were doing, and he said, "I'm not happy." And he told Amos, he said, "You tell them, thus saith the Lord, these things are going to come to pass." They were vile. They were the descendants of Esau. Esau was also called Edom. You remember that? Esau was the twin brother of who? Jacob, whom God called Israel. And the two fought, and they continue to fight to this very day. That's what we're seeing all over in the Middle East. We're seeing this continual fight going on today. And God is one day going to say, "Enough is enough," and he's going to send down judgment on it. He's going to send judgment. Now look at verses 13 through 15. Amos said, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child." They ripped these women up. They killed them, and they killed their babies in Gilead. Now you listen to me. They took their swords and ripped the women apart that were with child. Why? So they wouldn't have any more. They wanted to do away with the people. I believe that's what we call today abortion. It's murder. It's wicked, vile murder. And as God didn't like it then, he does not like it today. But we in America, from the numbers that they know of, what is it now, 60 million babies that have been murdered, slaughtered by doctors with swords, and have taken the lives of these little innocents? And if God was angry with it then, God help us when he brings down his judgment on this country for what we've done. I want you to look also now at Amos chapter 2. Look at Amos chapter 2. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will set a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord. These vicious Moabites hated, the Jews, and they hated everybody. And they got so mad at the Edomites that they took the son of the Edomite king and burned him, turned his bones into lime, they said. Brother, God was not at all happy with this. Then look at what God has Amos to tell the people in verses 4 and 5 of Amos chapter 2. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of who?
Judah.
And for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Why? Now you look at this today. Because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. And their lies cause them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. God had condemned the wicked nations around Judah and Israel. But now God brings the condemnation back home. Back home to the people who knew truth. The people that had the Old Testament scriptures, the Word of God. And they neglected it. They turned it aside. They chose not to count it as important. And they despised the law of the Lord and refused to keep his commandments. And they changed the truth of God into a lie. And in so doing, they caused all the people in Judah to do wrong, to do sinful things. Folks, that is what we're seeing in our world today. This past week, I did see a YouTube video of a church, I think it was up in Massachusetts, that had a sodomite ceremony in their church, celebrated this pride mess, and right after the people got out of that church building had been built in 18-something, and they took pride that we've been around for all these years. And God, the news people saw it, were there recording all this stuff, and a lightning bolt from heaven came down, hit that thing, and burned that church to the ground. Burned it to the ground. And I thought, that's exactly what God was telling Amos to tell the people in Judah. This is what's going to happen. Folks, I watched at that video they showed, as that steeple, and the whole church was on fire, and that steeple just fell, all of it, and the whole building just fell apart into the ground. And I thought, here they were taking pride in what they were doing, and God said, not in my house you're not. And God took it down, and God was going to do the same thing here. And what was he trying to show the Jews? He showed the Jews here, the people of Judah, the people of Israel, that they, just like the nations around them, were all sinners, and they all deserved judgment from God. They all deserved judgment from God, and God was going to send it. And then look what he said in verses 6 through 16. Amos, as honest as he could be with the people, he stood firm and he delivered the message that God had him to give to the people. And he said, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteousness for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go in unto the same maid. to profane my holy name. Can you imagine that? A father and his son going in unto the same woman, sharing and taking. They knew that this was wrong, and yet they did what they wanted to do. And they lay themselves down upon clothes, laid the pledge by every altar, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet destroyed I the Amorite before them. God said, I want you to remember what I've done for you. I took care of your enemies. I destroyed the Ammonites that came before you, whose height was like the height of the cedars. He was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. Also, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up of you sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? He said, did I not do this for you? But then look what he said. But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink. You said in your church services that it was all right for the people of God to drink alcohol. You told the people it was all right to do wrong when I said it was not all right. Folks, God was not happy. And look what else he said. He said, you commanded the prophet, saying, prophesy not. Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. Therefore, the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself, neither shall he stand that handleth the bow, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself, neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself, and he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord. My goodness, I don't even have the time to go through the rest of this. But God was not happy with his people. And folks, God took a little farmer that was willing to trust God. And God said, Amos, I've got a job for you to do. You're no more a farmer of the land, but you are a teller of the gospel. And folks, what we need to see today in our land is mamas, daddies, fathers, grandfathers that are willing to do whatever thus saith the Lord. Amen. God will use anyone if they're willing to trust him and obey him. God's got a special use for you and for me. And our world needs the message. Let's stand true. Let's stand firm. And let's do what God said do. All right? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, the hour is late. I know that. But Father, what a message you gave unto Amos to deliver unto the people. And Lord, I ask you, God, today to help us to read through this and understand, God, you're not happy with sin. And Lord, it breaks your heart that your own people would do things like they're doing today in this world. But God, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as your children, Lord, to be willing to declare the message of the gospel to everyone we come in contact with today. Let them know, Lord, that judgment is coming, but that you've made a way of escape through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now, Lord, to declare that message faithfully and truly everywhere we go. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.